The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. Now on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, this is the Bears Coaches Show with Bears head coach John Fox, the coaching staff and Bears management. The Bears Coaches Show is brought to you by Comcast, North Shore University Health System, PNC, and Miller Lite. Now from Hallis Hall, here's the voice of the Bears, WBBM's Jeff Joniak.
And a pleasant good evening, everybody, and welcome into PNC Studio here at Hallis Hall. Jeff Joniak and the head coach of the Bears, John Fox, pleased you with us tonight until 7:30. Hey, we're close to seeing a big finish yesterday, once again.
Close again. It sounds like a broken record, but, we had our chances. We got a chance to look at the video today, and again, we've got to clean up those four or five key plays that are the difference in winning and losing.
And that is the same song different weeks around 32 NFL cities.
No doubt. No different yesterday. Guys fought their tails off. We compete well. We just got to quit doing the things that cost you to not win.
It's rare that I'll do this, but for your own enjoyment as well, I'll do this because Rich Campbell from the Chicago Tribune started his story on the game yesterday. We're looking at you on the sidelines. John Fox gritted his teeth on the Bears sideline as the anger welled in him. His blood had spiked to the boiling point after back-to-back holding penalties on that final drive. But that does depict, though, the frustration that no doubt players, coaches, fans all had with that situation.
Yeah, I think, you're inside of a minute. You've got a chance to go either tie or win the game. And we rip off two pretty chunk plays that are definitely going to get us in field goal range. One on first and 10, the other on first and 20 after the first holding penalty. I think it's been some time now in the league that I've ever seen back-to-back holding penalties in a one-minute drive.
It seems to me many times on this show you said, first time in my 27 years, it's been that kind of season.
Yeah, and, it's unfortunate, and, our margin for error is not great, and those kind of things, can mean the difference of winning and losing.
And at this point, too, I mean, I read the quotes from Ted Larson and Charles Leno. They took their responsibilities. But you got to also define what holding is sometimes. And I know you can't really discuss it in great detail. And Tom and I talk offensive line play all the time, Tom Thayer. And some of it seems, okay, pretty bluntly the case. And other times, there's a little stuff going on there that not everybody can see. And even when you watch the tape, you can't really tell.
Yeah, I think it was just unfortunate. Yeah, I think, really in this league, you could call holding every play. The good news is they don't call it every play. So, like I said, that was a little bit unfortunate, the timing of it. But we'll live and learn. You got to overcome a lot of things to get victories in this league, and we'll continue to learn that lesson.
Yeah, the thing of it is the offensive line of the Bears also managed to get a lot of the defensive line of the Bears managed to get a lot of calls in their favor on the offensive line of the Lions early on. That's a win. You guys, I think, got seven penalties from their offensive line in that game.
Yeah, I think,
first half.
It was pretty even there for a while. I think we ended up 11-7. So, some of those four or five plays I'm talking about sometimes can be penalties.
In that same vein, Matt Barkley, despite first and 20, ridiculously long situations. We always have a thing on the broadcast when it gets over, third and 15. We don't have plays for that, man. That's Tom and I's description of it all the time. But Matt just kept zinging it. He kept coming back. This guy has fight in him that I don't know that anybody could have really realized it. People talk about him getting a second chance. This is his first chance. I mean, he may be a four-year veteran. This is his first chance.
No doubt. I think yesterday was his first start on the road, and I thought he handled it pretty good. It was definitely a noisy environment. It wasn't perfect. A few games, seldom are, but he was, he keeps impressing me. He's still got a lot to learn, and we still have a lot to work on, but, he still hangs in there, and he's got a lot of fight in him.
In turn, and we touched on this last week, he appreciates the fight in his teammates, and I think that's causing him to embrace this situation even more. He mentioned resilience and everything you've mentioned. And the fact of the matter is, with a play here or there, you could have seriously, easily won these last three games.
Yeah, I mean, he could be sitting here 3-0, as a first-time starter in the league. And, we got some reinforcements back today. We got Alshon Jeffrey back. So that'll help us. And these young guys continuing to grow. You know, I think Daniel Brown wasn't exactly a household name 3 weeks ago. You know, he's new in there. So we've got a lot of young new guys in there. And, you know, sometimes it can affect your execution. But, you know, our coaches are doing a good job. These guys are doing a good job responding. You know, now we just have to put the whole 60 minutes together.
What's interesting about Barkley, look who he's throwing to at the end there. He threw to Braverman. You know, hadn't been targeted, but maybe once in the first 2 weeks that he's been on the field, it's who's ever open. So he's finding the guys who are open.
Yeah, I mean,
it doesn't matter who it is.
Yeah, no doubt. And like I said before, you know, I don't know how many drops we've had over the 3 weeks, but we've had our share. You know, this kid's putting the ball on the money, and you know, I think our guys are continuing to fight. You know, the one the good thing is they're getting open. You know, it's one thing to have drops, but at least they're getting open. I think our coaches are doing a good job of designing some things for them. And, you know, with time, I think our guys will be more consistent.
And on the fourth down, Bellamy, that would have been a very difficult catch, but more experienced that he becomes, would he maybe make that catch?
Yeah, I think, you know we're pretty strict on it. You know, if you get your hands on it, you catch it. You know, but he's given us all. You know, he's done a lot for us. He made some big catches in the game. He's made some big catches over the last few weeks. So, I don't fault the kid for his effort at all.
And interestingly, against that same Lions team in week four, you had White, Jeffrey, Zach Miller, Eddie Royal. They had almost 270 yards of receptions, 19 catches, and 2 touchdowns. You replaced him in week 14. Take these guys to the mat on the road, a first-place team in their building. You know, with Braverman and Bellamy and Daniel Brown, it says a lot about how the staff is preparing these guys to play. It really does.
No doubt. And it says a lot about the players that, you know, they're busting their tails to learn it, to get it down and be able to operate under pressure. You know, there's been a lot of, there's a lot of fight in these guys, and they'll continue to improve as long as they continue to work like they have been.
The Bears Coaches Show with head coach John Fox and WBBM's Jeff Joniak continue.
They rush 3 and drop 8. Gronkowski spanning. Throw! Picked up the block. 10-5. Waltz in for the touchdown. Pick 6 Bears, and they've got the lead here in Detroit. Craven LeBlanc, the rookie, slams it shut on the line.
And Craven LeBlanc, our Xfinity player of the game, brought to you by Xfinity. Welcome back to the Bears Coaches Show here at PNC Studio at Hallis Hall. Jeff Joniak, John Fox. So 7:07 on the clock. They're backed up deep. And the first pick 6 in 41 games for the Bears since 2014. One of my new favorite guys, Craven LeBlanc, because that man right there, he's a young man, but he's a fighter. I mean, he may have dealt with some penalties and some yellow laundry in the last few weeks, but he's making plays, and he's not afraid, and he sticks his nose in it. And I loved how he described that whole thing right there. He just ran the route. That's tape study.
Oh, no doubt. I think we mentioned before, our coaches are, you know, coaching the heck out of these guys. These guys are being very receptive, and, you know, Craven's that guy. I mean, he's very super competitive on the field. He's not afraid to work. He works his butt off in practice, film study. Tracy Porter does a good job with those young guys, who's kind of the vet leader of that group. And, you know, they're a very cerebral group, you know, and he did know the route, knew the situation, you know, felt the stem and, you know, cut underneath and ran the route for him.
All right, so, and I said this to you before and brought it up because it's worth mentioning again. You love the underdog. You love those undrafted guys. What is it about them? Because you got a bunch of them, and a bunch of them were on the field defensively, especially on Sunday.
You know, I think, a lot of guys, you know, start to race in different ways. You know, they could be free agents. They could be first-round picks. There's something about the guy that's got a big chip on his shoulder, the fight, the competitiveness in them, the way they go about it. They don't take anything for granted. You know, they've gotten everything they've gotten in life through a lot of hard work, and they carry that over. And so much, even in this league, is that's the difference. You know, even, you know, your great players are great talent, but are great competitors, and that's how they become great. So, you know, even guys might be a little bit off maybe on some height, weight, speed things, but, you know, I had a guy in Denver, Chris Harris, that came in as a college free agent. University of Kansas and came in and made the team. He started on special teams. He got his place on defense, and now he's a Pro Bowler. So, you know, it takes a lot of hard work. It takes a special competitor, a consistent competitor, and, you know, Cravon's got that makeup.
Can you win with a bulk of your roster being that way?
Well, I think with time.
Because you got to live with mistakes, right?
Yes.
By doing that.
Yes.
Now, how does an impatient person live with the patience of living with mistakes?
Well, sometimes it gets forced down your throat, kind of like right where we are now. You know, we've lost a lot of people. The good news about this is, you know, at some point we get guys back, but, you know, guys are developing and getting those opportunities, and some of us due to injury. You know, look at Nick Kwiatkowski. I mean, nobody heard his name other than draft day. You know, now we've lost a couple linebackers inside, and Jarrell Freeman, you know, as well as Danny Trevathan, and, you know, he's gotten his opportunity, and I think he's made the most of it. He's, you know, made some plays on the ball. He's improved. You know, he's gotten his opportunity.
Turnover differential was a positive yesterday for only the third time this season. It just goes to show you again how impactful that can be. The DeMontre Hurst pick, which was caused by the breakup by Bryce Callahan. Again, we're talking about two more undrafted guys back there in the secondary. I mean, you're learning a heck of a lot about these young guys. Some way, form, or fashion, they're going to help you down the road, or they'll find jobs somewhere else. You can't have everybody stay here in the future, but, you know, you are developing that. And I have always said this, because of your experience as a DB coach, I feel that's in good hands because you're helping out that. Ed Donatell is done that his whole – Vic Fangio also has touched a lot of DBs, sent them to Pro Bowls. Is that – important that all you guys have hands on these guys?
No doubt. You know, and I think what's more important is they're responding. And, you know, you mentioned Cravon LeBlanc, you know, same thing with Bryce Callahan, DeMontre Hurst. You know, when he's gotten opportunities, he's done good things for us. And now they're all getting more opportunities, and hopefully we can grow on that. And no time like this week with Packers Week right around the corner.
All right, you mentioned Alshon. Where's he at mentally? Because I'm sure he feels pretty bad about what happened. I know some of the fellas today were talking about it. I think Cam Meredith at the podium said he was a little gun-shy a little bit about speaking up today, talking, but slowly but surely getting back into the flow with the locker room. Do you expect the very best coming from him when he shows up on Sunday?
Yeah, I think so. You know, when this all went down 4 weeks ago, you know, guys are, you know, they feel like they let your team down, they let the organization down, and all that's true. But, you know, like anything, people make mistakes, and, you know, now he's back, and he was welcomed with open arms by everybody, myself included. And we're looking forward to having him available for us Wednesday at practice.
And another playmaker to put on the field. The Bears also today put Mike Adams on IR. So Matt McCants, a newbie coming onto the roster at tackle on waivers from the Browns. He's got some experience, though, in the league. Has a few starts under his belt, too. A big guy to help. You're kind of thin at tackle, right?
Yeah, I think, you know, with Mike being out, he was out last week. Our emergency guy was, you know, going to be Josh Sitton if we need be. But, you know, at this point, you know, to get him in, get him schooled up. He was with the Raiders earlier in the season. He comes out of UAB, his college ball, and then they had to make some changes where they got a tackle back healthy. They released him, and he was claimed by the Browns, and then the Browns released him, and we got him on the claiming wire today.
Listen to the next Bears All Access Radio show brought to you by Uber, Wednesday, 6 p.m., WSCR 670 a.m., or streaming live, part of the Chicago Bears network of shows.
Now, more of the Bears Coaches Show with head coach John Fox on News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM.
Lions with a four-man rush, Barkley to throw, floats it down the right side, leading him to the five, to the end zone, touchdown! Touchdown, Bears! A touchdown for Cam Meredith. Beautiful throw, laser sharp on Darius Slay.
Welcome back to the Bears Coaches Show, live from PNC Studio in Hallis Hall. Meredith's third TD catch of the season, one of his six grabs for 72 yards. I defy you to put any quarterback in to throw it any better than Matt Barkley did on that particular route.
Yeah, he's been remarkable with his accuracy. And, you know, I think going on the road and his first road NFL start in that noisy environment, he made some pretty throws throughout the day. You know, not all of them were perfect, but... You know, for a young guy, I thought he did outstanding.
So on that play, too, he's got to beat press coverage, Cam does. And Darius Slay's getting a lot of accolades, Pro Bowl accolades. He runs a 4.36 40, at least he did when he came out, and he beats the jam and beats him. He can't catch up to him. And safety's coming over. So it's got to be – but and Cam's with the soft hands these days. Looks really natural running through his route to get into the end zone. That's a lot of good things in one play. And if you just get a few more, right?
Yeah, I think
you tell these guys this.
Yeah, no, it's remarkable, and they're learning and they're willing. You know, I think Cam's another good example that's came in here and college free agent, worked really hard all last year, got some play time last year, and really kind of started to develop. I think CJ, his position coach, has done an outstanding job with him. He's getting better in and out of routes. He does have the physical tools. He's got height. He's got good arm length, which creates a good ball radius. And, he's working at his craft, and he executed very well in that particular play.
We mentioned Daniel Brown, the tight end. All six of his throws, 42 yards, were caught, four on that final drive. Have you gotten to know him a little bit? What's his personality like? No one knows a thing about him.
Yeah, I know. He's quiet. He's a converted receiver. He still has some things in the run game to improve on, which he will do with time. Frank Smith, his position coach, does an outstanding job. But, Daniel's on, he was inactive for the first couple of weeks he was here. And, with the injury to Zach Miller, plugged and played him. And I think he's done well. So he's still learning. He'll get better this week. He'll be better this week than he was last week.
I maintain you got to have a great safety to go to the playoffs repeatedly. You look at playoff teams, they got a guy who's a killer back there in some form or fashion, whether it be the physicality and great performance or a ball hawk or whatever. Maybe I'm wrong, but where do you rank safety play in importance for a defense?
Well, I think it's key, too, because it's you need to be strong up the middle. Obviously, the safety position is right in the middle. I think the range you have there is important, can make up for some deficiencies. You're the last line of defense. If, some gap opens up like the Red Sea, in the run game. And then really the communication and the quarterbacking of the defense. The Mike linebacker or some inside linebacker usually has the coach communication, the green dot. But you have to have somebody on the back end that gets everybody lined up and adjusts and communicates. So it's very important. I think we in free agency went after Antrell Roll 2 years ago. That didn't really work out. We've got some youth there that, we're mixing and matching and trying to find the right mix as we speak.
Yeah, offensive line chemistry is huge, obviously. It is important because, as you said, you're mixing and matching. So there's not that consistency week after week where you got two guys that are going to be there, with injuries and whatnot, that's not always going to happen. But is it really important for that communication back there?
No doubt. I think, every really strong defense I've been associated with has been that way. And, right now our guys are, they're working their butts off to get it done. And we're getting a little bit better as we go. And hopefully we can develop that combination here in the last three games.
Leonard Floyd, the stat sheet doesn't say much, but if you watch the game again, I've watched it twice. He was very active all over the place. Lots of good pressure that created opportunities for some other guys.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, he definitely helps us. He's got speed on the field. And when you're chasing around a mobile quarterback, like Matthew Stafford is that's important. We had him in coverage some. I think he made a play.
Yep.
Out on Ebron as a tight end. So, mixing and matches, he's a weapon, and he can do both. He can cover and rush.
Packers in. 26-10 loss at Lambeau. Didn't get an offensive touchdown that game. Barkley came in, so he's got some familiarity, but they're on a three-game roll. What's your thought?
Well, I think they were very impressive against Seattle there in Lambeau last week, and they're kind of getting healthier at the running back position. I think defensively they seem statistically to be doing a little bit better. So, again, it's another division opponent that, our guys take a lot of pride in. It's a fierce rival. I don't think there's a lot of love for either side. So we're looking forward to it.
Better wear extra clothes, Big John.
Yeah.
It'll be cool.
Yep. That's probably least of my worries right now, Jeff.
Thank you again.
All right.
The Bears Coaches Show with head coach John Fox. And this hour featuring assistant coach Ben Wilkerson. Brought to you by Verizon, North Shore University Health System, United Airlines, and Miller Lite. Once again, the voice of the Bears, WBBM's Jeff Joniak.
Out of the gun, they hand it off. There's Jordan Howard blasting the midfield to the line 40, 35, and plows through a defender to the 27-yard line of Detroit. A big first down, another chunk for the rookie running back.
And Jordan Howard, 13 carries, 86 yards, his seventh game this season with more than 100 total yards of offense. He had runs of 28 and 31. To a team that allowed only one run longer than 25 this season in the Detroit Lions. Welcome back to the program. Joined now by assistant offensive line coach Ben Wilkerson. Thank you for joining us and being with those guys every day. They must adore the opportunity to block for a guy as physical and as point of attack specific as Jordan Howard. Is this true?
It definitely makes the offensive line's job a little bit easier. The fact that he's a hard-nosed runner and can break one or two tackles and keep going. And it's definitely a lot of fun for any offensive lineman when you have a back like that in the backfield. It definitely makes the job easier.
And you played ball for the Bengals and also the Atlanta Falcons in addition to LSU. Who'd you love blocking for in terms of that kind? Do you like that kind of style?
Oh, yes.
Because you were a center.
No doubt about it. I blocked for some great backs going back to my LSU days with Joseph Addai and LeBrandon Tofield and Allie Broussard to get to the Bengals, and they had Rudy Johnson and Chris Henry. I get to Atlanta, and the numbers are endless as far as the backs, and they just made our jobs easier up front. So it's definitely a pleasure to block for that style of runner.
Explain to folks just how patient of a runner Jordan is, but at the same time he slams into that hole with a purpose. So he's a downhill back for certain, but what that does for an offensive lineman mentality wise.
It allows you to go into the game plan with some confidence, knowing that, hey, if we just get a little bit of movement on these guys, and I mean the guys on the defense side of the ball are just as good, and we play against some good players within this division, within this conference, and we just know that if we can hold on to this block for just a little bit, we know Jordan's gonna make a guy miss a tackle, and again, it just makes us look better up front. We're gonna continue to work to do our job, but if we know if we can give him a little bit of a hole or a little bit of a crease, he's going to hit it downhill and go for a big play.
You can help deserving families donating a winter coat for the Chicago Bears Jewel Osco Coat Drive. Participating Jewel Osco locations available now through January 1st. Donations benefiting the Salvation Army. Here with Ben Wilkerson, the Bears assistant offensive line coach at 7:06 on the Bears Coaches Show. If you can define the frustration of those two holding penalties there on the last drive of the game.
It's tough when you get to a critical point in the game for those type of penalties to be called, especially on your guys up front, because they work hard. The guys, they understood the importance of the situation, and you just kind of have to dial in and focus on your technique and stuff. And that's something that we work on and harp on a daily basis, and just meeting with the guys today, they understood that and understand that when the game's on the line, we have to be on point. And we'll continue to work and get better at that, and next time an opportunity like that arises, we'll be ready for it.
It is survival in there, especially if a route's taken a long time to develop or a guy to get open. But in the case of Charles Leonard working with Ziggy Ansah, one of the better pass rushers in the league, he's been injured and was injured in the game yesterday. But Charles even felt, I think he was quoted as saying, he felt like he was getting tugged himself. So it's a thin margin of in terms of interpretation, too, by officials.
Of course. And, I mean, it's a constant battle, especially when you're going against a premier rusher on the edge or a premier guy on the inside for your guards and centers. It's a battle. And you know that precision is key. You have to be efficient in everything you do, from your movement to your assignments and recognition. And at a critical point in a game like that, all that has to be on point. And when you're fatigued, you got to count on your fundamentals and your mind to be sharp to get the job done.
Same with Ted Larson in another situation. He feels he didn't grab or hold, but it could appear that way, mm-hmm. and you get the flag. At what point do you start losing, though, technique?
Well,
in those situations, especially late in the game?
It's tough to say, because it's easy to point to one specific point at the end of the game when it's critical. But, I mean, it's times throughout the game when you feel good about your positioning and your hand placement and stuff, and then sometimes you lose battles. Those guys are good on the other side of the ball as well, and they make a good move. And you have to just continue to fight and battle, and hopefully that you know, you go in there with the mindset that every play counts, every play matters, and even at the end of the game, especially at the end of the game when the game's on the line, you just got to be on point.
The Bears Coaches Show with assistant coach Ben Wilkerson and WBBM's Jeff Joniak continues.
And welcome back, everybody, here with Ben Wilkerson as we break down the Bears game in Detroit yesterday. We'll look ahead to the Green Bay Packers as well. So you've had your hands full as an offense of staff as well as the defense, just the number of bodies that you've had to try and coach up throughout the course of the year. But I want to talk about the guy who's been there the most, really, including Leno, but Cody Whitehair. As a former center, how much joy are you getting out of helping coach him with Dave Magazoo and Kevin Mawai?
Cody's a great kid, just eager to learn every day. He wants to be good. He wants to be accountable and wants to be the point guy in the middle that everybody expects him to be. Kevin Mawai's been a great example for him since he's been with us on the staff, and me and him both have been working very hard, as well as Coach Magazoo, obviously, to prepare him on a daily basis and on a weekly basis to perform well on Sundays. And he's shown steady improvement, and we're very proud of what he's done up to this point.
The impact and you know, out of happenstance that you have two guys who played the position in the NFL in his rookie year, not to mention that Eric Kush has experience at center, obviously Cornelius Edison, Hieronis Grassou. It's good to have guys that have done it so you can explain it to them and tell them things that they have yet to experience and so forth.
Of course, it's always good to have that experience coming from other places, not necessarily from the players that you play with on a daily basis, but, you know, for me to share a little bit of my experience, which is nowhere near as long as Kevin Mawai's, but to have that opportunity, that's the joy of being a coach, especially being a former player and getting an opportunity to do it at this level. To share your experiences, and hopefully it takes hold with a couple of guys and they can go on to have a good, productive, long career.
A guy like Grassou, who was injured in the preseason on a non-contact injury, have you been a little bit of a supporter in terms of psychology of trying to get through that with a guy like that, especially now that Cody moved in to a position that he once was at?
Grassou, we all call him Duck, but he's been around every day. You know, he hasn't missed a day. He comes to all the meetings and, you know, just around. And that's the good thing about him. He always wants to be around and be a part of this organization and what we're trying to do and just be a part of the growth of Cody, understanding that he was in a tough spot making the transition from guard to center right there at the first week of the season. And, you know, Grassou's been great. And I've loved to continue our relationship. I love the fact that we've been able to do that throughout the season, even though he hasn't been able to play. He's been very instrumental in everything, and much appreciation for him and what he's been able to do.
Yeah, that line overall, pass protection, has been outstanding. Matt Barkley moving into that position. You had Hoyer, you had Jay, so a lot of change. That's a whole chemistry thing that has to develop. What's been the key?
Just make sure the guys just stay together and play for one another more than anything. In this business, you know, guys come and go. Injuries happen. Transactions happen. You know, it's just a part of the business. But from a football standpoint and more so part of a relationship standpoint within the room, just making sure that group is tight-knit and they stay together and they work hard for each other and play well for each other. And that's been the biggest key to continuing the development of the group and improvement from a week-to-week basis.
What's missing in the room without Kyle Long right now?
a lot of
pressure. And, oh, hey, Kyle, I know you're getting surgeries and, you know, get back soon, get healthy for next year, but everybody misses him.
A lot of personality.
Yes.
His presence demands attention, but he's just a great guy. He's going to give you everything he has. He works hard, and that's one thing that we do miss, his tenacity, the intensity he brings to everything he does. It's a great example to follow from that standpoint, and you know, we all try to do a good job of staying in contact with him and keeping his head up, and he does a good job of staying involved and keeping in contact with us as well to give us a good laugh every now and then.
Oh, you know? Yeah, so you need to laugh in these times as well. It's probably a great lesson and a tool for all the players on the roster to know that they have an opportunity. They got to be ready because of the number of injuries this team has had. Has it served you well then in terms of having their attention?
Yes. You know, it's been a challenging season for everybody, but, you know, it's been a learning season for everyone. We've all grown and experienced a lot from the good and the bad. And, again, I think this team, from the coaches to the front office all the way down to the players and support staff, we've done a good job of just sticking together and sticking to the plan, sticking to the course, and just trying to improve this team and improve the players the best we can. And although the record doesn't show it, I really truly believe that we've gotten better from that standpoint, and we got a lot to continue to build on.
The Bears Coaches Show with head coach John Fox continues exclusively on the home of the Bears. News Radio on 105.9 FM, WBBM.
And welcome back to the program here at Hallis Hall with Ben Wilkerson, the Bears' assistant offensive line coach. Glad to have some time with Ben in his second year here. We mentioned working with a bunch of new offensive linemen. New one comes in today, so back to work. And I know you probably saw him on tape and so forth, or maybe you haven't just yet, but Matt McCants, waived by the Browns, is a veteran. And this has kind of been the cycle all season long. I guess that's just the way it is in the National Football League, right?
Yes, of course. And, you know, you have a plan for whenever opportunities like this come about to try to prepare the new guy whenever he comes in as best you can and get him ready and get him coached up. We try to treat all guys from the 15-year starter all the way down to the first year free agent with the same expectations, the same energy, and get them ready, you know. And from even though a guy comes in week 14, 15, and you have a chance to get them coached up and get them ready to go, that's just what you do.
All right, give me some thoughts on some guys that are on the practice squad that people have not met yet, have not seen them play yet. Cyril Richardson, big guy.
Big, strong guy, heavy-handed, works hard, doesn't say a whole lot, but just shows up to work every day. It's been a pleasure coaching him up to this point.
Will Poles,
just a massive guy.
He's a huge man.
But he moves pretty well, can play all spots. He's played guard and tackle. He hasn't snapped the ball yet for us yet, but just willing to work wherever we need him.
And then one of the more interesting situations, a former defensive lineman, the athletically gifted Lawrence Okoye, when he walks in the room, he gets your attention because he is uniquely athletic.
No doubt about
Olympian,
it.
Olympian, champion.
Of course, you know, we had an interesting conversation because I was a high school track guy, and so one of the first questions I asked him was, how far did he throw? And of course, he outshined me by a number of meters.
Shot?
Discus.
Oh, discus?
So that was an interesting conversation. But again, just his athletic ability to be able to make that transition, not just from an Olympic sport to football, but from defense, now to offense and playing offensive line, you know, that's just credit to him and his athletic ability to be able to do all that.
Essentially from scratch, right?
Of course, definitely. Just working from the ground up, and definitely there's potential there. Just got to continue to work with him and get him better, just like the rest of them.
Working with Dave Magazu, obviously, he's an excellent offensive line coach, but you got a guy who's very much a Hall of Fame candidate in Kevin Mawai. What's that been like?
It's been great. You know, again, going on my second year with Coach Mags, just learning a lot, gaining a lot of knowledge and information on, you know, just being able to command a room and working on developing an offensive line and instilling your philosophy on the group. Working with Kevin, I've known Kevin Mawai since I was 18 years old. Coming out of high school and being recruited by LSU, he was there on my first visit at the school, and we've maintained a relationship ever since then. So Kevin's a very, very great friend and mentor of mine, and to have the opportunity to be able to work side by side with him has been nothing but great.
Losing's no fun, obviously. You've experienced the highest of success winning a national championship. The fellas ever ask you about it?
Not really.
Everybody's won a championship.
Not really. You know, we spend more time just focusing on trying to be better at the moment.
Yeah.
You know, every now and then we dwell on the past, especially when the games come on TV and stuff, but not a whole lot. You know,
bragging rights.
Of course. We'll nudge each other whenever our teams play each other, whatever, like that. But
and it should be noted you did it for Nick Saban. A lot of people who don't realize, I mean, you know, they forget he was at LSU.
I played for Nick Saban, coached for Les Miles my 2 years as a graduate assistant. So had a chance to work with two good coaches there, of course.
Ben, appreciate your time.
Thank you for having me.
Get ready for the Green Bay Packers. Earlier tonight, Coach Fox on another close finish.
Sounds like a broken record, but, we had our chances. We got a chance to look at the video today. And, again, we've got to clean up those four or five key plays that are the difference in winning and losing.
And that is the same song, sung different weeks around 32 NFL cities.
No doubt. No different yesterday. Guys fought their tails off. We compete well. We just got to quit doing the things that cost you to not win.
It's rare that I'll do this, but for your own enjoyment as well, I'll do this because Rich Campbell from the Chicago Tribune started his story on the game yesterday. We're looking at you on the sidelines. John Fox gritted his teeth on the Bears sideline as the anger welled in him. His blood had spiked to the boiling point after back-to-back holding penalties on that final drive. But that does depict, though, the frustration that no doubt players, coaches, fans all had with that situation.
Yeah, I think, you're inside of a minute. You've got a chance to go either tie or win the game. And we rip off two pretty chunk plays that are definitely going to get us in field goal range. One on first and 10, the other on first and 20 after the first holding penalty. Yeah, I think it's been some time now in the league that I've ever seen back-to-back holding penalties in a one-minute drive.
It seems to me many times on this show you said, first time in my 27 years, it's been that kind of season.
Yeah, and, it's unfortunate, and, our margin for error is not great, and those kind of things, can mean the difference of winning and losing.
And at this point, too, I mean, I read the quotes from Ted Larson and Charles Leno. They took their responsibilities. But you got to also define what holding is sometimes. And I know you can't really discuss it in great detail. And Tom and I talk offensive line play all the time, Tom Thayer. And some of it seems, okay, pretty bluntly the case. And other times, there's a little stuff going on there that not everybody can see. And even when you watch the tape, you can't really tell.
Yeah, I think it was just unfortunate. Yeah, I think, really in this league, you could call holding every play. The good news is they don't call it every play. So, like I said, that was a little bit unfortunate, the timing of it. But we'll live and learn. You got to overcome a lot of things to get victories in this league, and we'll continue to learn that lesson.
Yeah, the thing of it is the offensive line of the Bears also managed to get a lot of the defensive line of the Bears managed to get a lot of calls in their favor on the offensive line of the Lions early on. That's a win. You guys, I think, you got seven penalties from their offensive line in that game.
Yeah, I think
first half.
It was pretty even there for a while. I think we ended up 11-7. So, some of those four or five plays I'm talking about sometimes can be penalties.
In that same vein, Matt Barkley, despite first and 20, ridiculously long situations. We always have a thing on the broadcast when it gets over, third and 15. We don't have plays for that, man. That's Tom and I's description of it all the time. But Matt just kept zinging it. He kept coming back. This guy has fight in him that, I don't know that anybody could have really realized it. People talk about him getting a second chance. This is his first chance. I mean, he may be a four-year veteran. This is his first chance.
No doubt. I think yesterday was his, first start on the road, and I thought he handled it pretty good. It was definitely a noisy environment. It wasn't perfect. A few games, seldom are, but he was, he keeps impressing me. He's still got a lot to learn, and we still have a lot to work on, but he still hangs in there, and he's got a lot of fight in him.
And for John Fox, Ben Wilkerson, Greg Miller, Andy Gersher, and our studio producer, Keith Johnson, and Dan Barilli. This wraps us up for tonight's show. Bears-Packers Soldier Field, pregame 9, kickoff at noon. This is News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM. Good night, everybody.